W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
From the Darling New Media Studios.
This is the WTH Podcast.
Welcome in. Thank you for joining us on the WTH Podcast. You're not live streaming,
so there's no need to make eye contact.
No, but we are recording. This is going to go on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, oh, okay. All right.
Everything's going on YouTube.
Oh, so I shouldn't have picked my nose right now?
Over my butt.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Coming up on the show today, Marilyn goes Mexican.
Ooh.
And we're going to experience what it's like to go to a Donald Trump rally.
Oh, God.
No, thank you.
Nope, we are. We're going through it.
All right.
We're gonna ride this sleigh to hell. That's what we're going to do.
Sounds like fun.
Uh-huh. Plus, Kareem's Steelers win half of their games so far. Half of the games they're going to win. They got win number two, Jason. Number two.
I saw.
They tried to choke it away.
I say barely.
They tried desperately to choke it away, but they ran out of time to do that.
Yeah. Well, next week. There's always next week.
You know what's really weird, though, is the Chargers play in, I think, Carson now. The Carson Chargers.
Oh, man.
And
like, how fucking stupid can you be as an NFL owner to move your team to Carson? Like, why the fuck did they?
It's temporary.
Yeah. Are they going? They're going to go to LA.
Yeah.
Still, fuck that shit.
Once the stadium is built, they're going to LA, I believe, to share a stadium with the Rams.
Yes, the stadium is
gonna have two football fields,
3/4 of the way built.
Yeah, so they're just like the Giants and Jets share the Meadowlands. They're going to share a stadium in LA.
Man, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and there were a lot of Steelers jerseys at the game.
Were there?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
always the case.
Well, in Carson.
Yeah, they're like a college team. Their fans are delusional about how good they are.
No, bro, that's everywhere.
No, it is.
My dad's a Steelers fan, so.
Yeah, Steelers fans travel a lot.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you want to get out of Pittsburgh?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get all that. Other than that, Kareem, how was your week?
I'm getting old.
We know.
Yes, yeah. I have one of those injuries where you woke up and you hurt something and you're like, what the fuck did I?
You hurt yourself sleeping.
I hurt my knee sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where I could barely bend it when I went to bed last night.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Yeah, so
I'm sorry.
I'm probably going to go to the doctor tomorrow. I've been loading up on ibuprofen today, so it feels better now.
Just keep it going.
Yeah, but yeah, this shit's ridiculous.
Ice, heat. Repeat.
Yeah, ibuprofen. Like, because you don't get the full effect of it for a couple of days. Like, so just keep taking that shit.
Welcome to the Old Man Podcast.
Yes, we are there. We are officially there.
Right when I was a kid, I used to just.
Oh, my God.
I could jump around and do somersaults. I could fall down a mountain
and be fine. But no, I went to sleep and woke up and could barely walk.
The worst thing you can do, and I've done this recently, is start doing math on how long ago something was.
Oh, that's, yeah, don't do that.
And then compare it to when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
So Back to the Future is a good example of this. So Back to the Future came out in 1985, I believe.
Oh.
And they went back 30 years to 1955. If you go back 30 years from now, from right now, it's after Back to the Future came out.
Yeah.
It's 1989.
Oh, man.
1989 was 30 years ago. And you start doing math like that, and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. That's what. Mm-hmm.
Where did the time go? And how did I waste so much of it?
I know.
Like, I
know.
I haven't really felt old until last week when that happened. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Now, that was easy.
I felt old since I broke my leg.
Oh, yeah. That'll age you. That will age you.
You feel everything.
After that, man. Fuck. But before that.
Nothing, because you were high.
All the time. And I was drunk. Mm. All the time. Unless I was at work. And it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I probably was sober.
Yeah. And I've actually hurt this knee back in high school, that this particular knee. So,
Oh, shit. So it's coming back on you.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till they start talking about arthritis.
Well, you know what it is? It's the low pressure system coming in. I mean, there's rain.
Yeah.
Jason, what about you? How was your week?
Oh, it was fucking delightful, bro. Mm-hmm. It was delightful. I got to spend the whole week with my kids by myself from, 7:30 to 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Mr. Mom in it?
It was Mr. Mom in it. And today was the last day. The three-year-old goes back to school tomorrow, starting at 7:30. Oh, my God. I'm just so looking forward to having a hot cup of coffee again, because I could actually have, with a three-year-old, the five-month-old, the almost six-month-old, it's pretty content usually. You might have to pick her up and place her a few times because she's rolled over a couple of times and mm-hmm. is trying to get at something. But the three-year-old demands constant attention.
Yeah, you got to know where she's at all
and you got to keep her entertained, and you don't want to be watching, cartoons all day. So you have to have other activities. She's a Star Trek fan now.
Okay.
I've been watching, because it's one of those things where there's a lot of episodes of it. I can have it on in the background all day. And it's fairly benign. Mm-hmm. It's lasers. I'm not worried about my kids seeing lasers. They're not blowing people's heads. I actually was watching El Camino on Friday while she was taking her nap. I had this moment where I had 45 minutes. I took a shower and I got some lunch and I had sat down. I watched about 20 minutes of El Camino, and then she woke up and then the other one woke up. But while she was up, I was like, oh, I could, this isn't the violent one, right? But just as soon as I have her there, it's really start the camera's falling down. And you see a dead body, a woman's dead body, with her tongue just hanging out. And it's she's like, I don't like this, daddy. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm sorry, kid. I'm sorry. That's not what I expected. It was a lot of work. But at the same time,
what cartoon do you hate now?
I don't hate it. I actually I'm fine with it. And we've really limited. She actually didn't get any cartoons today. Because we don't want her thinking that it's a reward or that it's something that necessarily has to happen every day, because they latch onto that shit. So you have to, you let them cry. We let her cry. If she wants it, unfortunately, we fell into a habit of letting her use the iPad. I did. It was my fault. But I let her use the iPad and watch it on Netflix, PJ Masks. And
That's how you get around to hating the cartoon, by letting her use the iPad.
But that was what I was doing, kind of. But it also allows me to take a dump in the morning, too, without her being in there pestering me.
Well, sure, there's that.
So anyhow, that's what we were. Yep, we let her cry.
Little Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, man, these guys. I remember when this album came out. I was like, oh, so listen, how it's so heartfelt.
Mm-hmm. It was the 90s.
Yeah.
It was the 90s. 20 years ago.
Oh man.
More than 20.
More than 20.
More than 20. More it's than depressing. 20. Anyway.
So yeah, so that was my week. Good time. Saturday went to King Kong Brewery yesterday for a one-year-old's birthday party.
Well, sure, that's where they belong.
Because the parents were like
alcoholics.
Where they're like, this isn't for the kids, it's for us.
No, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, really.
The first birthday is not for this one. And it's an excuse to get all of our friends at one place. So we went there. I cooked a tri-tip, pork tri-tip, which is just, I think, a pork loin with another piece of meat still attached to it. It was pretty dope.
Nice.
Yeah. Tasted good. I brined it. What I did is I dry brined it. So I covered it with salt, wrapped it up tightly for about an hour and a half. Rinsed all that salt off and then seasoned it for another 2 hours. Shit was dope.
All right. I'm going to move on now before everyone stops listening. I had an interesting week. Of course, the Aftershock Festival was this past weekend. And living in West Sacramento, the river actually works as an amplifier. So the sound of the concert travels down the river and empties into West Sacramento where I live. And last year, my wife was miserable. She hated it. So this year, she took the baby and went to Reading.
Ooh.
For the weekend, because I couldn't go. I had had an event. I was shooting photos at the YMCA S'mores Fest.
Oh, dope.
So, cool. Yeah, darlingnewmedia.com. We do a lot of stuff. it was interesting, but I did that. And then Sunday I was in here working on the photos, getting those done. And I had a meeting with Brian from the Comedy Spot, who came out here, because the only way you can actually talk to Brian is to get him away from everybody else.
Yeah.
Because everybody's just clawing at him. It's like 1,000 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
Just going, Brian. So he was nice enough to come out and, we chatted about some stuff and, he was cool enough to put some info about Darling New Media in the Comedy Spot newsletter that goes out every Tuesday. So,
oh, cool.
Pretty stoked about that. The other side of things is, and I knew this was coming at some point in some way. So over the summer, Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs died at age 27. And a couple months after he died, it turned out it was an opioid overdose. And then there was an article that came out, or the family said, well, there are members of the Angels staff who know about this. And by staff, they mean just office people. It turns out his death may have been tied to an Angels staffer who allegedly told authorities that he'd supplied the late pitcher with drugs. That's according to a new report. ESPN put out the bombshell story on Saturday, claiming to have spoken with sources who say that Eric Kay, the Angels director of communication, confessed to DEA agents investigating Skaggs' death that he'd hooked him up with oxycodone for years. On top of that, ESPN says their sources allege Kay also told the DEA that he'd given the pitcher oxy at least a day or two before the team left for Texas on that road trip. Now, per the report, Skaggs allegedly asked Kay for another installment of oxy on the actual day the team left, but Kay was unable to supply it. This is potentially huge, as Kay also allegedly told DEA agents that Skaggs snorted 3 lines in front of him shortly before his death. Now, while at his hotel in Southlake, Texas, Kay allegedly told DEA agents that Skaggs had invited him over and offered him to partake. Kay allegedly declined, however, reportedly told the DEA that he witnessed Skaggs inhale 3 lines, 2 he allegedly recognized as possible oxycodone, and the 3rd one consisting of a substance he did not recognize. Skaggs was found dead in his hotel room hours later, having choked on his own vomit with a cocktail of substances in his system, including fentanyl and alcohol. But wait, there's more. Per ESPN, Kay also told DEA agents that he believed that at least 5 other players were also using opiates, and at least 2 of them, or at least 2 team officials, had been notified of Skaggs' drug use well before his death, first mentioning it back in 2017. DEA agents also reportedly found several Venmo transactions between Skaggs and Kay, ranging from $150 to $600 over the course of 2 years. A rep for the Angels has denied knowledge of any of that, saying in part, quote, "We are shocked to hear these reports. We had no prior knowledge of Tyler or any other member of the Angels organization having abused opioids or any other narcotic, and continue to work with law enforcement to get answers," end quote. Skaggs' family also issued a statement saying they were appreciative of the work law enforcement and were awaiting the final results. Now, Kay is said to have been placed on paid leave, and he's also reportedly in outpatient treatment himself for substance abuse. So that's the next shoe to drop. We haven't heard who the other players are, if they're former players or if they're current players with the Angels. But when something like that happens to your team, it sucks. And I've been waiting for something. Because it happened, I'm like, it's weird that a 27-year-old would just drop dead.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, it's opioids. I'm like, okay. Now, and then the family claimed, oh, there's someone in the team that knows. Now, supposedly, there's more to the story, too. Supposedly, Skaggs was messaging this guy, Eric Kay, while he was in the hospital I think earlier this year, and Eric Kay's family told Tim Mead, who worked for the Angels, who now works for the Baseball Hall of Fame, to get Skaggs under control and have him stop bothering him while he was at the hospital. So it's sad. This is going to unravel a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see where it all sort of shakes out.
What is Major League Baseball's drug policy?
These things are all forbidden. They've got a variety of drug policies. I don't know that they test for opioids.
So, because I've seen players kicked out of the league for or banned for whatever they're because they have a really strong. It's like 80 games or some shit like that.
Yeah, if you're testing for a banned substance, it's 80 games.
Yeah, so
those are performance enhancing drugs. That doesn't follow the same. It's not the same if you test positive for cocaine.
I don't understand that.
Well, one of them is
so you can cheat.
Right, one of them is so you can cheat and be better at the game.
I get that, but
that's why.
I mean, if you're in football and you smoke weed, you're done. So that's what I'm trying to not.
Yeah, because no one in the NFL smokes weed.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there are more people. I don't hear any baseball players getting caught for drugs as much as I do football players.
I hear them testing positive for PEDs, and I think that's the majority of what they test for.
It's probably similar to any other job. Like they probably have to do the performance enhancing drugs like on a regular basis because of the type of drug that is. But then on other ones, it's like at the time of employment, and then if you fuck up, or they want to fire you. Like, I mean, it could be that way. I mean, because it is two different things. Like, yeah. I mean, it's two different things. Like, one is performance enhancing.
Yeah, it's weird. So,
I mean, it's weird that it's, like I said, it's...
So here we go. Testing for drugs of abuse is administered randomly on the basis of reasonable cause.
Oh, bam. It's exactly what I said.
Yep. Steroids is one of the things that they're testing for, controlled substances as well. So, but if you're coming back off of surgery, you could very well be prescribed an opioid and it would be perfectly legal.
Yeah.
To take. And he had Tommy John surgery. So, I don't know if that's when he started using, but
Man, they have K2 and Spice listed on there.
Yeah, they do test for cocaine, opiates, and cannabinoids. So yeah, steroids, stimulants. Yeah,
when I worked for my dad's construction program, I don't know if you guys had this, but when I worked in construction, we had something called the pool program. And basically what that is you get a letter every 3 months. You know, are you familiar with the pool program? Yeah, yeah, right? So you get that letter and you have to send somebody. At the same time, you don't ever have to send anybody except for that. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, we just have to send them to that. And that's randomly anybody in the company that's driving that has that class of license.
That's pretty much the drug policy for the NFL is a pool policy. That's what they're
right. But at the same time, we still have discretion with that pool program on who we want to pick. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, so I just think that it's kind of odd. I don't know.
But at the same time, the only time we ever drug tested anybody in the whole company was at the point of hire.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they fucked up on the job,
that's not a regular company, dude.
Their policies though,
their policy is not the same.
No, it's collectively bargained by the union and the
policy is not the same.
League.
So are those kind of,
no, their policy is not the same.
Either way. There's going to be more coming out soon. So another departure, Shepard Smith out of nowhere, has left the Fox News Channel after 23 years, and apparently it was a big secret.
A personal moment now. Gathering and reporting the news has been my life's work. 33 years, the past 23 right here, since the day we launched Fox News Channel in 1996. The opportunities afforded this guy from small town Mississippi have been many. Fox News has allowed me to travel the country and the world, gathering the facts of the day for you. At Columbine, Katrina, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, 9/11, and every life-altering event along the way. I've met leaders, heroes, and victims of all stripes. I've witnessed and reported on the events that shaped our reality. Together with my colleagues, we've written a first draft of history and endeavored to deliver it to you while speaking truth to power, without fear or favor, in context and with perspective. I am eternally grateful for the opportunity, for handing me the breaking news reins as managing editor, senior correspondent, and chief news anchor for this network. I am thankful and humble.
And he's gone.
He wasn't the chief news anchor. He's the only news anchor for that network.
Just like that. And it left his colleagues a little surprised. Here's the reaction from Neil Cavuto, who was on immediately after him.
Well, I'm Neil Cavuto, and like you, I'm a little stunned and a little heartbroken. I don't know what to say. Shepard Smith, as I said just a few days ago on this very network, a decent human being, a heart as big as Texas. I didn't say Texas at the time, maybe just all of Manhattan. Wow, I don't know. A better newsman you probably cannot find. Again, a bigger, more emotionally connected to humankind you cannot find. So, Shepard, I don't know what the heck you're planning to do or where you go, but I just know you'll be great at doing it, and you deserve the best that life has to offer. So I'm sorry if I'm a little shell-shocked here, but I'm going to miss my buddy.
He told no one, at least none of the on-air people. John Roberts, the White House correspondent, did not know. So bombshell out of nowhere. I'm sure he told his bosses that it was coming. Although, who the hell knows?
Who the hell knows?
I love Shep. I'm going to miss Shep.
Well, now I can't watch Fox News Channel anymore.
No.
All right. So
do you think
because Shep was one of the people that actually.
Well, he was constantly the one that they held up as being an actual journalist. Right.
Right.
No. But of all the journalists anywhere, Shep was probably the one who held politicians more to task than any other journalist, period.
All right. That's twice he's no to you, Jason. Are you going to take that?
Whatever.
Well,
his team won this week. He's going to get it.
Yeah. Well, sure. That's two. 2-4.
Like I said, we're going to win the last 8 of the last 10. So you just go ahead and give me my money.
Okay. So the president had a big week. We'll get to the rally in just a second. But this was shared on Twitter with the caption, "Can we agree that no matter what else, this man is just nuts?"
I did it, and I did it quickly because we have a great military now. When I took over our military, we didn't have ammunition. I was told by a top general, maybe the top of them all, "Sir, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have ammunition." I said, "I'll never let another president have that happen to him or her."
The military had no ammunition.
I don't understand how these people stand behind him and let that bullshit go.
Well, here's the other thing. When he says, somebody told me, and he doesn't give a name, that they're really at the top, and they said, sir, there's a lot of sirs in there, making it all up.
Yeah.
But that is just the beginning, because Trump went to Minneapolis, home of Prince, and he had himself a rally. So, by the way, the Prince estate is, I believe, now suing him because they played another Prince song.
Yeah. Like, yeah, don't play Prince before your bullshit.
Oh, no, they pulled the, are we not going to be able to go through the whole rally? Looks like they have pulled a lot of these clips off of Twitter. What? Why wouldn't we want to be able to hear what the President of the United States is saying? That would be weird, right? Okay, here we go. It's reloaded. Thank God. Thank God, Twitter. So let's see. Where do we start with this? Going up. Let's see. Let's start with Trump is upset that the media fact checks his lies about Biden.
Biden in charge of Ukraine policy. Listen to this, and the press will not write it. They say, in totally unsubstantiated charges, every time they talk about him, President Trump has said that his son walked away with a fortune. Now, you know that's a totally unsubstantiated charge. Really?
Yeah, because you made it up. You have no evidence of that. It's totally made up. Then Trump goes into why Biden was a good vice president. He's not really kind in his assessment.
And your father was never considered smart. He was never considered a good senator. He was only a good vice president because he understood how to kiss Barack Obama's ass.
Wow. That's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
That's the president of the United States there. And now he's got some comedy about Hunter Biden, apparently.
Hunter, I know they're giving you approximately $168,000 a month. I hear they paid you a big check of $3 million. I just want to speak on behalf of NBC, who's absolutely one of the worst. I just want to tell you, Hunter, I just want to tell you, I couldn't be happier for you and your family. And I know you don't know anything about energy, and I know it's an energy company, but I think they made a great deal, Hunter. And then they fly to China.
Okay, well, that's enough of that one.
So,
we've got a lot more. We won't get to all of them, but yes, Kareem.
So, what happened was Steve Bannon started this media company with this other dude. And the whole purpose of the company is to run these false flag stories. Mm. So they have enough facts in them to sound true, but they're bullshit stories.
Oh, like the things that everybody's older relative share on Facebook.
Right. So this is what the company is specifically for. Mm-hmm. Him and Giuliani grabbed the Ukraine story from this
sure
thing. And people have told them that it's a bullshit story, but they won't believe them.
What's really funny about this is that obsession is the thing that's going to get him impeached. Steve Bannon is going to end up being the one that gets Donald Trump impeached.
Yes.
That's
where this story comes from.
Which is what he's always wanted. He wants to burn it down, right? He wants to just burn it down, right? I mean, and that's...
Yeah.
That's what those guys like.
All right. So, Donald Trump, he's a jokester, right? He's got jokes. Here he is talking about serving more than just two terms in office.
He said, I just told him, call me. He said, President, I can't do it. He said, so I says, President, you've been here now for, think of it, almost 3 years. Can you believe we're here 3 years? We. And we have to promise them no more than 16 years, okay? No more. 16 more years. I'm only kidding. Now they'll go back. See, he wants to run for more. But he said,
He ain't gonna, his brain ain't gonna last 16 years.
I feel like every time I see his mouth, like it's always in like a perfect circle for like a dick. And what he says, like, I don't know. His mouth is just always a perfect circle. I think of that meme. There's like a meme of dick's just going in his mouth.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
I love seeing dick's go in his mouth.
So he's in Minneapolis, where Representative Ilhan Omar is from and where she represents. And he starts ripping into her.
3,000 people died saying some people did something. Big deal. Some people did something. She pleaded for compassion for ISIS recruits right here in Minnesota. Omar laughed. That American speak of Al-Qaeda. You remember that tape? Speak of Al-Qaeda. But when we say...
There's a protester being taken out.
But when we say something about the United States, you just don't say America with any intensity. Remember that? Representative Omar has a history of launching virulent anti-Semitic screeds, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. But that wasn't the end of it. He went into conspiracy theories about her marital status that he read on a right-wing blog. Here we go with that.
All those tangled lies of Omar, Mr. Scott Johnson of Powerline. He wrote some stuff. I can't believe it. Where's Scott?
No, you can't. You can't believe it.
Thank you, Scott.
Honestly, you can't believe it.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. What a job.
Her figured out.
Oh, there he is. Is that Scott?
That's Scott. Scott's the only one not wearing a red hat there. Yeah. He's wearing a green toque. And he writes for a blog.
The only problem is, Scott, it's incredible talent, much more talented than most of these people that you heard about. The problem is they never pick it up. They don't want to pick it up. But we pick it up, Scott, and the people get it. And we thank you for your great reporting. Thank you.
It's not reporting when you make shit up. If you make it up, it's called fiction or libel.
No, hold on a second.
Or slander.
Listen, she wasn't born here, and then she married somebody that lived here after living here most of her life.
Oh, but wait.
No.
Thank you very much. As Scott reported, everything about Omar is a fraud, including her name. Scott reports his sources told him that, quote, Omar's legal husband was Omar's brother and that she had married him for fraudulent purposes. You mean like coming into the United States, maybe?
And I'm my own grandpa.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
How does that, like, because, like, I heard a report. Well, that's what they do, right? They take a report that's somewhat factual and then twist it even more. So,
well, there's that. Yeah. But you can also, the other thing you can do is you can interview somebody, establish that they're an expert on something. Say, I talked to Jason Casey, who's an expert on whatever. And then you'll say something, and then I'll just put your quote in. Now, I've said you're an expert, so therefore you should be trusted on this topic, right?
Nice.
So then we put a quote in, and no matter how fucking crazy or nonsensical it is, hey, Jason Casey is an expert on whatever it might be. That's how this works.
Yeah, and, you know, Elizabeth Warren had sex with, was it Vin Diesel?
I don't know. I'd heard she had a BDSM affair with a 29-year-old Marine.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the rumor.
That was a rumor.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing? And like, that's good for her.
There's supposed to be another rally with somebody else she supposedly slept with this week.
Oh, damn.
So I think it was like 4 years ago, there were people that started putting out tweets or stories that were just made up stories.
Right, about her.
No, about just period. Just period. And they were getting clicks. And so they were getting revenue from the advertising on the stories, so they just kept doing the stories.
I see. Just keep reusing them.
No, yeah. They just kept making up shit because they were getting paid for people reading the shit.
And because he has a great understanding of medicine and the military, here is a story about a troop who was he was injured.
But I saw these young men. And I gave them their Purple Hearts, and their parents were there crying. And one of them was so amazing. I said, what's your problem? Sir, my face was blown apart. My nose was absolutely just blown apart.
I said, what's your problem? He's giving a Purple Heart, and this is his account. I said, "What's your problem?" Not how were you injured? Where were you wounded? What's your problem?
He said, "Sir, it's incredible." And I looked at him and said, "That's the most beautiful nose I've ever seen." "What do you mean?" He said, "A doctor worked on my face for 10 hours in the field. He said there were 1,000 fragments." Now, I don't know if that's right, but a lot. He meant a lot. He said there were 1,000 fragments. He rebuilt my nose with glue. He glued the bones together. He rebuilt my nose. I say, "You have the most beautiful nose I've ever seen." And it's true. And his father came over to me. He said, "Sir," father was crying. He said, "Sir,
everybody's
honestly,
crying.
My son looks better now."
People are buying this. People are buying what he's selling.
That's like a bad, like that was a stand-up joke. That was a joke.
That was an open mic.
That was an open mic joke.
Yeah.
I'd be like, "All right, listen, funny premise. I like the idea. It's an old joke. It's been being used since vaudeville times. But let's just make it a little bit quicker. So let's get to the point a little bit quicker."
People believe that shit.
Oh, man.
All right. And we'll wrap up our coverage of the president with this story. A Trump fan was jailed over a bumper sticker and some rage. Supporters behind bars after his arrest for displaying a handgun to a female motorist whose vehicle carried an Elizabeth Warren bumper sticker. That also happened in Minneapolis. According to investigators, the 18-year-old victim was driving on Monday afternoon in Moorhead, a northwest Minnesota city, when Joseph Schumacher, 27, pulled up next to her and rolled down his window. Schumacher began yelling at the female, expressing his dislike for a bumper sticker supporting Warren, a candidate for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. Schumacher, cops add, then pointed to a Trump bumper sticker on his vehicle. After he eventually pulled in front of the woman, he allegedly held up a handgun inside the vehicle. Responding to a 911 call placed by the woman, the cops located Schumacher, who was wearing a Trump 2020 hat, at a nearby restaurant. A search of his auto turned up two loaded handguns, one in the car's center console and another which was in the back seat area, according to a probable cause statement. During questioning, a passenger in Schumacher's vehicle told police that the defendant had indeed produced a pistol during the incident. Schumacher denied brandishing of the weapon, claiming he believed he'd been flirting with the victim and her female passenger. Ha ha! If that's what you pulling out a gun to flirt?
Unless you have a concealed carry, aren't your gun supposed to be in the trunk?
I don't know what the laws are in Minnesota.
Yeah, it depends on state.
So Schumacher, here is a photo from his Facebook page. He's wearing a Reagan shirt. He includes clips from Fox News shows hosted by Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, and a June birthday salute to Trump for always trying to do what's best for the United States and for United States citizens. In another post, Schumacher describes himself as a, quote, diehard Republican and says, quote, "I rock the Trump Pence bumper sticker and wear a MAGA hat every day where I'm judged and blatantly harassed multiple times a week by Dems." He added, "Granted, I do live in the most liberal city in North Dakota." Wow, that's a qualifying statement. But I bet it happens a little on the other side of the table, too, depending on where you're at. Everybody has their own opinion, and I respect that. Well, clearly you don't.
You don't, yeah.
Clearly you don't, buddy.
It looks like somebody had already boxed his ears before, so.
I need some attention.
Yeah.
He'd been in some fights. He's probably a boxer, MMA guy.
Oh, or he's just a mouthy bastard.
Has gotten punched in the head a lot.
Yep. Sounds more like it. All right, let's change the subject here real quick. Something silly that has nothing to do with the president running. Flyers fans in Philadelphia turned up for the Gritty 5K, bringing wild costumes and, of course, pranks. The inaugural race held for charity is very on brand with the Philly mascot. Oh, what an ugly mascot that is. Ooh. Now, Gritty's not much of a runner, but he sure knows how to put on a race. And more than 2,500 racers donned orange fur, googly eyes, and other Philadelphia mascot-related regalia while participating in the inaugural Gritty 5K this past Sunday. Gritty tweeted, "I did everything I could. Running still sucks. #Gritty 5K. That got 7,000 likes, by the way. He led a pre-race stretching and the former Flyers forward Scott Hartnell was on hand to cheer the runners. The race benefited Flyers Charities, which supports nonprofits that provide educational and recreational resources to underserved youth, blah, 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 blah.
Oh my gosh. Such a, like, can we have a one sentence description of the charity? Sure.
Now, this is NHL.com. Runners were boosted by the Rocky theme as they took off from the Wells Fargo Center parking lot. The route went past the scenic Navy Yard and along the Delaware River before looping back to the arena. The race, true to the namesake's nature, was hardly conventional and a slew of quirky diversions along the way. Children sprayed racers with silly string, and there was a shrine to Flyers captain Claude Giroux, where fans were encouraged to pay respects and bow to the king. Some racers were pushed to crawl like Claude and crab walk on their hands. There was a basketball court where fans were encouraged to take shots and a water stop for fans to get rehydrated. At the 3 mile mark, racers were given hot dogs before finishing back at the Wells Fargo Center parking lot.
I don't know if I want to eat a hot dog in the middle of a race.
It's a 5K. No one was hurrying up too much. So anyway, that's a little palate cleanser for us. And yeah, sometimes you need it after a good rally, I guess. And if you need a palate cleanser, you can pick yours up on Amazon. If you do shop through the shop Amazon tab at WTHpod.com. It helps support the show. It doesn't cost anything extra. And we do appreciate you doing that. So let's wrap it up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
We go to the Eat Beat in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Mexican restaurant rightly gains lively following. Ha ha! You're greeted by the likeness of 5 life-size Mexican musicians and a sign that says, "Open!" outside Charas and Tequila. That's the Mexican restaurant on Highway 2 in Devil's Lake. And 4 of us who made the 100-mile drive to get there 100 miles, Jesus, on US Highway 2 went away feeling it was well worth it. She's run out of restaurants in Grand Forks.
She must have. That's a 100-mile drive.
Right? Well,
maybe it's 50 to get there.
Or is it 100 miles to get some Mexican food?
Or is it round trip, I wonder?
Unclear. The house specials included a trio shrimp dish served with Spanish rice, lettuce, pico de gallo, and guacamole for $19. We agreed with Ann Porter when she said it was nice. Bonnie Cameron was first to discover how nice the unusual low-slung coffee cups felt on cold hands. Before long, Susie Shaft and Ann Porter joined in. We were all enjoying that warmth and coming in from the brisk weather. The Mexican restaurant has gained a lively following in the couple of years since it opened. The food is good, the menu is varied and interesting. Oh, hey. And you get a welcome from statues of 5 life-size Mexican musicians standing outside the door. Once inside, the welcome is unusually warm. Sorry. The waiters are friendly and helpful, unlike those dicks in Grand Forks. There's a choice of booths and seating areas. The restaurant is bright and colorful. There's seating at a bar and nearby tables. And beyond the lounge area, there's more tables in the dining area. The place seems alive with its Mexican music and the lively welcome from staff members. Somehow, the chunky Mexican hot sauce seems especially inviting on cool days. Still, the menu seems endless with special dishes, including flautas, chipotle pork chops, and chimichanga. There are combination dishes and vegetarian choices along with a la carte. There are dishes for children 12 and younger. Oh, so there's a kid's menu? All right. And there's dessert. The restaurant for $6 serves fried ice cream, flan, sopapilla, and churros. Ana Quiñones has been the owner-manager since the restaurant opened 2 years ago and transferred over from a similar restaurant, which has become very popular in Bemidji. And she said there's another Mi Rancho Mexican restaurant in Bismarck. Charas and Tequila is what? It's an authentic Mexican restaurant. Where? 210 Highway 2 West, Suite 6 in Devil's Lake. It's open from 11 to 9 and with 10 p.m. closing on Fridays and Saturdays. Ana Quiñones is the owner manager. Jesus Q is the head cook. For reservations, 701-662-3030. It seats 116. And here is the report card, Jason and Kareem. A brightly decorated Mexican restaurant with unusually pleasant welcome and convenient parking. Wide variety of inviting choices. Menu with pictures, easy to read. Then you don't have to read it because there's pictures. Good restroom facilities, a plus.
Woohoo!
Well, again, I think that's true for a lot of Mexican restaurants.
Like, how do you travel 100 miles somewhere and not even figure out what the grade is?
Yeah,
it was well worth it.
Should be a report.
Not a report card, just a report.
Yeah, just a report. Like, yeah. Why do you have to call it a card? Like, don't. Yeah, just there you go. Save some. I mean, like, you're gonna lose a word on your word count. But it's better that way. Because you never give us, like, you never give us the grade. Well, you do, but that's the thing. That's the thing. Sometimes she gives us a grade and sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah.
Woo! Thanks, Marilyn.
That's what, when you have the Mexican later on in that really nice restroom.
Woo! they ate all their ice. They actually import the ice too.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the WTH Podcast. Thanks for joining us. And thanks for listening, watching on YouTube, however you're taking it in. And thank you for telling a friend. Have a great one. We'll see you on Friday with another fresh new show. Bye.